This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell live from Las Vegas. As we get you ready for Wilder Fury 2, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are glad to have you on a Friday, big Friday show for you, as we'll hear from both champion fighters today. Tyson Fury joined us early last week, and we'll hear let you hear that interview coming up a little bit later on today. We hope to hear from Deontay Wilder, but we'll let you hear some of the things that he's been saying. And Mike, ironically, last night we had a great dinner. But Wilder was in the same place we happened to be at last night with about 20 family friends.
Right, right.
Hanging out. And as Sean Thompson said, when you're a heavyweight, you don't have to worry about the weigh-in.
That's true. We were at Tom Colicchio's Craft Steak, which is one of our favorite spots. And it did not disappoint last night, man. We went bananas. What a great meal that was. And Bob Arum, got to love it, man. Bob Arum was surrounded by, what, about a harem of like five beautiful women, all tall, statuesque, 11s.
That's how Bob Arum rolls.
You're damn right.
Bob Arum doesn't go anywhere without taking it to the max.
I didn't realize he was sitting behind us. We had a big booth, and Mike's literally like, turn over your right shoulder. So I turn around, and you weren't lying.
This was like
five of the most beautiful women that you've ever seen,
right,
with 88-year-old Bob Arum, and you're wondering what the hell's going on, and then you realize, oh, he's rich.
Yeah,
he's
multi-millionaire. You know, part of the reason why these fights, sometimes get made, sometimes don't get made, is there's a lot of money involved, and Bob has all that money because he's the guy controlling how everything used to go from early 70s to here we are today. So Top Rank, still obviously a pretty big force in the fight game. And if, by the way, the tickets, I know a lot of folks that are rolling out were asking us, you know, hey, man, if I get out there, can I get ticks? Well, they're anywhere from like five, I saw on StubHub for like $550. So we've heard everything from like $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. I had a really funny experience this morning. It's this morning here. But I was getting my breakfast over at the food court.
Yeah.
And it was about half a dozen English ticket brokers. And these guys look like they're right out of the movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, or Snatch. They're Cockney. They got the whole thing going. It goes like, all right, I've got five for $550. Hold on, let me talk to my man. And so these guys are going round and round, and it's just so funny. He goes, if he walks out, it's going to be 10 grand. 10 grand? No, not less. Hold on. Let me get you back in my mobile. And these guys are going round and round, and the guy's got a stack of tickets, and they're all just sitting there chewing the breeze and working back and forth with the ticket brokers, getting presumably British fans their tickets. It was funny to see.
Well, I told you, that guy yesterday, he just stared me down, and then he's like, do you have tickets? I'm like, no, but that's going on out here. So we'll get you caught up on all the things Las Vegas and Wilder Fury 2. Meanwhile, back in the A, good Lord, Trae Young, way to come out of the All-Star break. Atlanta, and for all the guys who doubted this pick, I hope you're over it. I hope that you see we have a bona fide superstar in Trae Young. And it's not just about what he did last night. It's what he's been doing all season, Mike. The guy's averaging 30 a game now. He's second in the league in scoring behind the beard. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, what's that mean? Well, here's what it means. Trae Young is everything that we thought he would be. And last night, to drop 50 on the Heat. But this is what I love about Trae. It had nothing to do with his performance last night. It had a lot more to do with his mental. I want to take you back to the previous opportunity we had to play Miami. And, Mike, do you remember this game where we were up down in Miami?
Right.
And Trae did the whole throat slash thing. And at the end of the game, he thought the game was over. We end up losing. And Jimmy Butler tweeted out right after that game, right, Trae Young sees the future. Oh, he thought the game was over. He was right. Game was over. and he took a shot. Trey, very Michael Jordan-esque, didn't forget that. So you come out of the All-Star break, and Trey last night drops 50 on the Heat and then hits Butler back after the game on Twitter and says, "You're right, I can see the future, and I saw this weeks ago," and boom. I don't like Twitter beefs, but I'm just saying.
No, that's
it was personal.
It's awesome, and that's the kind of stuff you want. You want a guy with some swag. You want a guy that's obviously going to, you know, he's gonna bring the Heat. He's going to back it up. So it was just so cool to see that. And we saw some of the highlights this morning, going to the NBA.com and watching some of the bigger shots. How about Hunter? You know, DeAndre Hunter with some big moments last night as well. So Trey goes for 50 against one of the best teams in the East. I mean, an electric atmosphere. This is what we saw at times last year down the stretch. You know, yeah, we're not going to make a playoff run, but we're losing with style, in this case, winning with style. So here's what we need, Carl, to get to my over-under bet of 36.5. I need the Atlanta Hawks to finish 21-4.
It's possible, Mike. Unlikely, but possible.
No,
hey, but you still have hope.
Yes, it's not dead until the numbers and the math don't work. Right now, it's plausible, if doubtful.
129, 124. Let's hear from Trae Young on his 50-point game. And here's the other thing. It's all about W's, but I'll take these performances, man, because, again, it just shows you what we've got.
I mean, it felt great. That's the main reason why we play. We play to win. And for me to be able to have a good night like tonight and also win, that's the best part.
Now, you talked about the other guys, Cam Reddish. We've talked about him all season. He's the X factor in this. If Cam Reddish develops over the next couple of seasons, becomes the shooter, defender we think he can, this elevates our team, man. Hunter is already a great defensive player, in my belief. And so last night, both of those guys making plays. Here's what Trey had to say about those guys.
Being able to score the way I did, but also seeing Trey and Cam step up and make big plays was a big force in the fourth.
So, Mike, you take this W. You said it. Are you not entertained? Entertain us?
Yeah, man, this is what we wanted. I know we get through this stupid debate. Well, not we. I think Atlanta fans know what they got, and they're happy with it. But, I mean, you can have Luka have success, and you can have Trey have success. And at some point, if things go right for us and we can actually get some big-time guys to, you know, pair with what we've got in the young nucleus, then who knows? Maybe we'll see these guys in the finals someday. But as long as both guys – I've always thought it was so funny to make this into, like, a zero-sum game. You know what I mean? It's like, that team won. That team lost. No. And plus, by the way, Cam Reddish could develop into a stud as well, and we're seeing that too. People forget that's part of the trade before you want to sign off on all we lost with. Guy's going for 50. He's like, as you said, just behind the beard and scoring.
Yeah.
How can you not be totally in love with what we got with Trae Young?
And for me, I'm done with the Luka conversation in Atlanta. Seriously. Let's love on our guy. Let's respect what our guy's doing. To hell with Luka Doncic. Luka, win a championship, I'll start talking about you. All this hype about Luka and always comparing, it's so unfair. I love our guy. I love what our guy's doing. I'm done talking about Luka. I know Luka's a very good player. I get it. He's doing his thing in Dallas. But I don't care. I want to talk about Trae Young, and that's where I am right now, Mike. I think people in Atlanta, we need to be talking about our guy. We always talk about this. The national media in Atlanta, you guys know this. They don't respect us, right? When our teams are doing well, even when we're in the midst of winning championships or getting close, we don't get the love. All right, you know what? Let's start loving on our guys so people know around the country that this is real with Trae Young.
As we said, you know, the thing about a basketball team here in Atlanta, people love the NBA. Always have great ratings for the NBA playoffs in this town. You've always needed a reason to go down to what was Phillips and then State Farm. We've talked about it. Even with a 60-win season, there's nobody that you say, I'm on Marty. I can't wait to go and see Paul Millsap go for 19. You know what I mean? Forget about it. You know, this is like the old days. I missed out on Dominique and the Omni. And everyone talks about, man, the Omni in the old days and Neek, and it was packed every night. And that's what you're going to get now with Trey. Trey is the guy. As we joke around about Fricky, Taco Fall be the Trey is the attraction.
He is.
So you got a guy, and now you start to build around that. And that's, like I said, to see a guy like DeAndre Hunter having some big moments in that game last night, that's just huge. That's big to see the development.
Kevin Huerter, by the way, 17 points. That's just another guy. You know, we're talking about Reddish and Hunter. Here Huerter is continuing to get better. So, good outing last night. I just love the fact that the star on the team took it personal. That, you know what?
Right.
I screwed up the last time when we were down there in Miami. I called the game before it was over. And you know what? This is my get-back opportunity. And then for him to put it out there. And again, him and Jimmy don't have an issue. This is just...
It's good NBA.
That's it.
Alpha dog NBA right there.
That's what it should be. I agree. 404-741-0929. You guys can always find us on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. And, of course, that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Follow Mike Bell at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show Dukes and Bell 929. Now, if you go to Mike Bell's Twitter, you will see one of the funniest damn pictures that you want to see, because last night you had your oots face on.
Yeah, man. Who's the oldest guy at Hakkasan last night? Actually, not me. It was actually Tony, because Tony's 4 years older than me.
He is older.
Yeah, Tony's 55. Oliver is 56. Oliver, my buddy from Austria.
Oliver looks great, man.
Dude, that guy was, like I said, he's like a Jean-Claude Van Damme. But, you know, just keeps on rolling, and, you know, better living for chemistry. You know, HGH don't hurt either. But, man, we had a great time last night. It's so funny. I'm out there. I liked it. I like the club thing. I don't want to do it every night, because my wife is more of a pub girl than a club girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is kind of fun when you got the energy, and you got all the crowd is hyped, and everybody's just going bananas on the dance floor. Oots, and it's just going. That's fun. Again, don't do it every night. It was fun last night.
I understand. No. Listen, if you're out here with your wife, my wife's different. She does love the club. We don't do it hardly ever. And when we get a chance to do it, right, she goes bananas. We have a little joke, and she'll be like, just lose yourself, because you just turn into somebody that you're not. You're like, who the hell are you right now? But I will say this. There is something to being in that environment and having a lot of fun. And I know you were with your boys last night, so that's cool, man. I just laughed at the picture when I saw it this morning, because that right. the look on your face had me dying.
So, good times, and now it's Friday night, baby. So, the fight, obviously, Attitude and Edge starts to amp up. There's about 3,000 people lined up outside right now, our media center, just waiting to get into the weigh-in, which doesn't go down for like another 4 hours.
It's crazy. That blew me away. But it tells you, Mike, how big this thing is, like the interest level. And I went and got a coffee this morning, $25, and there were people talking about who they were going to put money on. And I had guys saying there's two things that are going to happen in this fight. One, Wilder's going to knock him out again, and for good. Or Tyson Fury wins on a decision, because they think he is going to outbox and win on potential points against Tyson or Wilder, Deontay Wilder. So I'm thinking about this, and we said, if you want to make a little money, if you're into those things, and we are, the bet is on Fury. That's where you're going to make your money. But if you think that Wilder, again, is going to have an opportunity to knock him out, and hopefully this time, if he does, as Wilder's been saying, he ain't getting up, then that's where you put your money.
Right, hold on. Let me get my glow sticks out. Who? Hey, watch the 51-year-old guy on the dance floor. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man. Where's my knee brace?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I'm surprised you didn't have a lockup this morning.
Yes, I would like a Maker's and Ginger with some... Somehow, I need an Advil floater on that right now.
Hey, coming up, man. What's going on with the Braves down at spring training? Snickers says there will be plenty of guys who won't see action. Find out who he's talking about. It's Dukes and Bell live in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Getting you ready for Wilder Fury 2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Coming up in about 30 minutes, NFL Blitz is on the way. We will talk about the labor agreement potentially on the table.
Yeah, the players' union is going. Tap the brakes on that. There's a lot of stuff the NFL owners are saying, which they NFLPA is saying is not even close to true.
I don't think it's going to happen. I that doesn't mean we're not going to get an agreement down the road.
Right.
I don't think this gets passed immediately.
Well, I mean, I'm just, as a fan, I'm excited that the owners come out. And again, it was all with bluster. Hey, we got this deal, and the player's going to make $100 million more. And then you think about $100 million more spread out in a lot of money, you know, for that extra game, what they're talking about. And you start to really do the extrapolations. It's like, no. We're going to chat this. We're going to talk about this. But again, it's almost like a PR war. You know, the public goes, okay, that seems fair and equitable. And then you start to look at it and go, nope, they're not even close. So the players are not going to sign off on this. But again, as a player, I mean, as a fan, I'm saying I'm glad the players and the owners, at least, for doing this now.
No, I agree.
Because it always comes down to that 11th hour, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So here's the first salvo, see where it goes.
There is a couple of options, by the way. We'll talk about it at 3 o'clock that could play out. One I like. The other, not so much, because it would mean a work stoppage.
Right.
So we'll get into that coming up as part of our NFL Blitz.
Well, remember, we asked Arthur Blank about it. And he's like, there'll be no problems. Okay. But, I mean, this is, it's going to go, like everything else, negotiation. They're going to go round and round on
But
this.
I do think you're right, Mike. This is a PR play, right?
Right.
Because the average guy, think about the guy, you know, driving around right now listening to Dukes and Bell. Hi. And he hears that the league is going to pay these guys an additional $100 million. That guy goes, what the hell's wrong with these players? But he's not looking at the context of how that's laid
right.
out. So the NFL putting these crazy numbers out there, the owners, it makes them seem like the good guys, right?
Right.
Oh, We're going to give you more football. We're going to give you more playoff games. We're going to pay these guys an extra $100 million. And the average guy's like, well, what the hell's wrong with these players? You've got to look at the context of the contract and see how that plays out. That's the stuff we're not privy to. And that's where the NFL owners are winning the public perception right now with, right, how could they turn this deal down?
Divide $100 million by 1,900, and it's not a lot of money. I know, so that's what we're talking about here. So it's big.
That's the
it's
amount of players.
Big and bold, and so it, was that 60,000?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just doing the math off the top of my head. But either way, there you go.
All right, man. Last night, Trey Young scores 50. We got our NFL blitz on the way. We'll get to headlines as well. We are live at the MGM Grand. Today, by the way, is the official weigh-in. It is open to the public. And the weigh-in out here begins at 3 o'clock, which is, what, 6 back at the house?
Right.
So back in the A. But that's going to happen today. And as Mike said, there are thousands of fans. We're not lying. At some point, we got to go out and take a picture. Lined up already, and it's 3 hours away.
Right.
So we'll let you in on what's going on there. But the big fight's going to happen tomorrow night. Last night, real quick before we get to headlines, Trae Young scores 50. And you guys know in the A, listen, everybody's coming out and supporting the Hawks, and they want to be a part of it. Migos and Quavo is no different. So he's sitting there watching this last night. The buzzer goes off. Trey gives Quavo his jersey. And Chris Kirshner, who's been on our show, Mike, writes for The Athletic, said after the game he asked Trey why he didn't keep his jersey last night.
From a 50-point game.
This I love. Trey said, because it's not the last time I'm going to score 50. Boom. That's the mentality I'm talking about. So, yeah, he gave his jersey, takes it off, gives it to Quavo, and everybody's going bananas. And you would think my first 50-point game in the NBA.
That's going to get framed.
I'm going to cherish that, right?
No, that's going to be somewhere in your rumpus room.
Yeah. I may never do this again, Mike.
Yeah.
It's not the last time I'll score 50.
So that's the thing. I mean, Trey, he's at times when he speaks, he sounds like he's 12 years old in the voice. But the kid's got that mentality. And this, you know, we talked so much about Kobe, obviously, the last few weeks. That's what you're looking for. And how many times you and I talk about, you know, I'm not knocking all of the NBA, but sometimes you feel these guys are mailing it in. You never get that feeling with Trae Young. And let's hope it always stays that way.
That's a good point. Hey, guys, let us know what you think. 404-741-0929 out here live in Las Vegas. Behind the glass today is our man, Jahi! Bo Morgan producing the show, and we got Sean Thompson out here on site with us. Let's get to some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start first with our Hawks, Mike. All right. What Trey did, set it aside, because the plays that were made in the fourth quarter by Cam and Hunter were big. Here was what you want to see from a guy like Cam Reddish. In the fourth quarter, it's 126-124, Cam Reddish with the steal and the jam.
Dragic has it poked away, and it's going to be loose on the floor. Cam Reddish has it. Cam will go in. He jams! A two-hand slam, and the Hawks take the lead, 126-124. Cam Reddish did it to Dragic that time. Stole the ball and went in a jam, and the Hawks take the lead.
That's what we're talking about, man. Cam has these moments. Now, we all said when he had the problems down there in Duke, excuse me, why didn't we see, you know, him take over when Zion was out? You know, we're like, well, you know, and if Coach K can't get more out of the guy, everybody's got their own timeline and timetable and their development. But you're seeing it. Now, I can think of five or six moments now this year as Cam as a rookie where he looks like the man. You know, and I presume that's going to build more confidence where he knows he can do these things.
Yeah, defense still wins, man. That was a big stop. Here is Coach Lloyd Pierce talking about that play.
Cam's steal and play down the stretch is really, you know, what we're missing and what we're looking forward to is guys stepping up and making plays in unlikely areas. And that was really a huge play for us at the right time.
So you have a guy that can score and create in Trey, who can get guys easier shots. If and when this defensive mentality kicks in, watch out. That's when we're going to separate ourselves and become a real contender. I don't think we're there yet.
Right.
But that steal, that's the kind of stuff that gets you in the playoffs to a championship and puts you over the top. So, again, we're still talking about a very young team, but those moments, hopefully, Mike, we look back on 3-4 years from now and go, you remember those nights where we just
right.
came? Because he did this a couple of weeks back. I think they were playing Orlando.
Right.
Where he got a steal like that and took it to the house and got a jam. All right, man, let's talk about the Braves. Spring training continues, Mike. Here's what we know. Brian Snicker's saying that there will be a bunch of guys who may not see as much playing time as you think for spring training. And again, some of you are like, it's spring training. But they want to see the younger guys. I think this is good for the Braves. Let's see what these guys are made of.
I thought Freddie and those guys wore down. I know the injury we talked about, Freddie, you know, he was a lot of pain, was not up to 100%. But I thought, and Markakis is no spring chicken, so why overwork these guys anyway? What's another 50 at-bats, you know what I mean, in spring, in meaningless games? You know, yes, you got to get a rhythm, and you want to get your timing and everything, you know, locked in. But I'm with you, man. There's no sense. Let's see what the younger dudes. I want to see Pache and Waters, man, that we've been hearing about. We always talk about it. We'll never trade these guys. Well, I want to see these guys. I want to see them do something.
You know, think about Josh Donaldson last year. Remember how concerned we were in the spring? Is he going to play?
Couldn't even run the bases, remember?
And he had a monster year. If you're a vet, you know how to hit. I said this. Ozuna, Markakis, I'm not worried about these guys. Travis d'Arnaud, I'm not worried about these guys. Freddie, let's see the young guys. So more on this coming up, but I love that Snicker's saying, hey, if you're coming down here to see us play, don't expect to be seeing some of the stars, because
right.
I need to see what these young guys have, and I think also it sets up the future.
Nice job, Snit. Using your noggin. Now let's let Sorokin Fried get past, 90 pitches, see where that goes this year.
Speaking of pitching, let's hear from Shane Green, Mike, because he says the bullpen is ready.
On paper, like I said, we can compete with anybody, but we still got to go out there and get the job done. Our lineup's going to be our lineup. We know we're going to score runs, so we just got to score more runs than the other team. The guys in the bullpen will be ready to go, and we'll see what happens.
That was very Bull Durham, wasn't it? We just have to score more runs than the other team.
Baseball is simple. You see the ball, you hit the ball. You throw the ball, you catch the ball.
It was very Bull Durham right there.
Just don't be a lollygagger. Yes, it's pretty simple formula. The guy who scores more runs, traditionally in baseball, we'll win.
Yeah. I do hope Shane Green in this bullpen is ready to go. I'm actually curious to see how Snit does this back, the last few innings of a game. He's got different guys he can go to.
Right.
But is it going to be 1-2-3 on a nightly basis where if there's a save opportunity, this is the rotation, is he going to switch that up?
I mean, when we got Shane from the Tigers.
Mark Melanson, is he the guy?
Melanson lost the job as a closer in San Francisco in the first place, and that's why I think we were so underwhelmed. We were stoked to get that trade and everybody, and then Shane Green can't close. And then all of a sudden now he's the setup man. So I still don't know how this is ultimately going to work out. I think he's supposed to be here, and I want that guy's role defined. He's the guy. I know when you play Thunderstruck from AC/DC, who's coming out of the bullpen.
That's right.
Let's hope that it's going to be that guy. That's what he's brought here to do.
Hey, while we're talking baseball, let's hear from Big Poppy, David Ortiz, Mike. Here's what he said about Carrera's comments about Altuve. Remember, he came to the defense of Jose Altuve,
right,
saying, hey, this guy wasn't using buzzers, all the stuff about the shirt.
Oh, Poppy's in the FBI, huh?
So here's David Ortiz.
I heard Carrera the other day say to Kenny that Altuve had nothing that had to do with he because he don't like it. And let me tell you, I believe that. But let me tell you what the problem is. Just for being part of the group that was doing it, you are guilty as much as everybody else.
He's right.
There you go. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Altuve was saying, hey, I didn't participate in this, but you're guilty by association. So that's where David Ortiz is trying to defend Altuve, but he's right, man. Hey, we got plenty more to get to here live in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Quick reminder, guys, tune in to the morning show each Thursday at 7:40 as John and Hugh interview Coach Lloyd Pierce, brought to you by BMW.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to let you hear from Fury and Wilder. Both of these guys are amped up. We said Fury was at the same spot we were at. Wilder was at the same spot we were
last night. I don't
know
if some of these 3,000 people or so that are outside realize you're not going to actually see these guys go toe-to-toe on the way in, because the Nevada Boxing Commission says you guys can't be within 10 feet of each other today.
Yeah, listen, the tension is high, I repeat.
Yeah, it really is. We thought it was on a showboat on Wednesday. We'll talk more about it when we come back.
I don't know.
Sure, he goes to the club theme.
I see it. I like it. We're out here in Sin City, man. It's Dukes and Bell live at the MGM Grand. I don't know what brought you to boxing, if you're a boxing fan. I don't know what brought you to UFC, whatever it is, right? But I think the connection, Mike, to any of this stuff is in these sports particularly, because in team sports, we love our teams.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We're going to support our teams. We're going to ride or die with our teams. But in these particular sports, it's about the personalities.
Right.
It's about the guys that lure you in and suck you in, and you go, I don't like him. Or, I really like him. And then you're intrigued enough to go, all right, I want to see this guy fight. And that's kind of what's happened with Wilder. Mike, 5, 6, 7 years ago, even though he's winning and kind of, he's on the map,
Right.
People didn't know who Deontay Wilder was. And I'll be honest with you. There are people who are going to watch this fight who don't know the history of Deontay Wilder and don't know this guy's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They don't know.
Right. I mean, it was such a huge part of our childhood. I mean, guys of a certain age, boxing was as the heavyweight champion of the world was as big as it gets. And that goes back to, like, post-World War II. I mean, our grandparents. I mean, you knew who everybody in the world knew Joe Louis was.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And then, obviously, Ali, that's at a whole other level. And then it became this alphabet soup because, you know, how boxing always gets. My guy isn't there, and we got to get this guy pumped up. So then you have this, you know, WBC, WBA, IBF, all this, you know, all that crap. So now you don't even know who the guy is. There might be three champs for one weight class. So that's part of it. And then you don't get the fight you want because it takes forever. We talked about that with Bob Arum yesterday. You know, because sometimes, you know, cross, you get marketing companies and the agencies and everything else and the promotions at cross purposes. So you don't get what you want. And then we get guys like a Floyd Mayweather who's, you know, fantastic, stylistic. The fights suck. I want to see action. What do we remember? Hagler Hearns, toe-to-toe.
Yep.
Two guys just beating the snot out of each other.
Yep.
That's what you're going to see. That's what's so cool about what we're going to see on Saturday night. That's what you're going to get.
That's what you're going to get. And you're right. Floyd, I can't tell you how much money. It's a lot. I want over the years on Floyd going the distance.
Decision Floyd Mayweather.
On Floyd going the I cannot tell you. It's a lot.
Yep.
How much I've won with just saying 12 rounds, 12 rounds, 12 rounds. Because Floyd was going to outbox the guy. He'd beat him in points. And we'd get to the decision. And still. And I'd be like, cha-ching. That's all cool. But there's something to be said about Saturday and the punching power that both of these guys possess.
Hey, style makes the fight. You know, we and I were talking about some of the good fights, some of the awful fights we've been to. I remember one year, we were up at the Garden. We broadcast live. They were trying to pump some air into Galata and Ruiz. Remember Ruiz?
Galata.
It was like two sides of beef. Like, remember, it was like literally like two sides of beef just leaning on each other for 12. It was terrible,
boring.
Terrible fight. It was John Ruiz, again, a guy that had just... Style makes the fight. Two guys mauling each other. I think the most that Galata suffered from that was 5 o'clock shadow and the beard of Ruiz on his face. You know, and so that's what you're like, oh, I don't want to watch this. And then we talked yesterday, the Klitschkos. God love them. Boring. The Klitschkos have put you to sleep. And Lennox Lewis was a great champion, but no one gets the respect just like Larry Holmes. No, because he's not Mike Tyson. So now we've got these two guys and another guy over in England. This is great. It's great for the heavyweight division because that's the bell cow for boxing, to your point earlier.
Let's hear from Tyson Fury. By the way, our entire interview coming up a little bit later on in the show with Tyson Fury. Stay tuned for that. Here's Fury on his game plan for this fight.
I'm not looking to take this fight past six rounds, to be fair. I want to get him out of there in the first six, nice and early, so we can all go out and get drunk. Could always be a bonus. I really feel good in the gym, you know. I've been knocking people out left, right and centre in the gym. We've been sending his sparring partners back home. I'm really looking forward to getting in there and knocking Deontay Wilder out cold.
Six rounds, Mike. He says he wants to get him out before six.
Well, he's going to kind of have to carry a 270 pounds of weight. Although when we saw him in person, he does not look overweight. I mean, he's a 6'9" guy. He looks like a monster. He's like Ed Too Tall Jones,
yeah.
Physically. He's a
yeah.
Monster of a man.
I do agree with you. The longer the fight goes, I do think it plays into the favor of Wilder. And then this is where guys get sloppy, right?
Right.
And all he needs is one right hand. We've seen it. So, Fury talking about the promotion of this fight. Now, we said this. We've been here over the last couple of days. We had Fury on. We've talked to Deontay over the years, and he's been a part of our shows. The build-up to one, this is 14 months ago, was good. This, it seems even more plausible as far as the connection and how guys feel about each other.
Right.
Here's what Fury said about the promotion of this fight.
Yeah, I've given TV people plenty of behind-the-scenes footage to get to know the Gypsy King. For all the American fans who were unfamiliar with the Gypsy King, then I give them a back-scenes entrance to everything that was going on in camp and my personal life and all that. So, yeah, I believe it's really worked a treat, and I believe that a lot more people have got to know the real me over the last year or so.
And I think that's important, because here's the other part. You know why we love guys? Because you think you know them, right? You want access. That's what really he's talking about. So for everybody who said, I don't know, who's this Gypsy King? And Mike has explained right. this about the Pikings and what
right.
goes on over there.
Now, we've talked about, if you ever watched the movie Snatch, which is a Guy Ritchie movie, and Brad Pitt famously plays the Pikey fighter. They're generally considered gypsies, and so they live in like, they're considered, they're like almost.
Nomads.
They're in caravans, and they go from campsite to campsite, and they are quite honest with you. in England, they're not thought of very highly because here in America, like the travelers, the guy says, oh, yeah, I'll pave your driveway for you. And then, you know, you pay up front and I do half the job and I split.
Right.
So that's kind of like the things that they're familiar. That's why they have a bad rap. And so he's like, you know, he spoke with us. You'll hear the interview coming up later, trying to change that perception. But he's proud of his heritage. And he knows that in England, they are treated, disrespectfully. So he's got that on a chip on his shoulder, but it is going to be interesting. I saw a bunch of English fans, I told you earlier, out here. They've got to be at least half the crowd. I mean, how do you think? A third of the crowd from UK?
At least.
So the guy over there, whatever his background is, I mean, they love this guy because he's real.
And he's repping for him, man. There's no doubt. Here's Wilder. How does he think this fight is going to go?
This time around, this is called unfinished business. This point in time, he won't be able to get up. And since he's in WWE, I'm going to make sure he go right out the ring. And I might get on the top of the bucket or the rope and come down with a flying elbow kick. Who knows?
Unfinished business.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can believe this cat got up. You'll hear the interview, we asked him, what do you got, like a manhole cover for a head? But the dude got up, freaked everybody out. But I just don't know if he can, you know, go toe-to-toe with Deontay Wilder. He's a good boxer for a 6'9" big guy. He moves well. We talked about that with Brian Kenny yesterday. I just don't know if that's the right strategy. A lot of people say that makes no sense. You know, bob and weave, box your way into another win, and if you're going to go toe-to-toe, you might get killed.
Yeah. Listen, play to your strengths, right?
I mean, it's great for us. I'm just saying it's not great for Tyson Fury.
I agree, but like his strength is, I've said this, I think he's a better boxer than Wilder. Play to your strengths. We just talked about Floyd Mayweather and over the years. Floyd played to his strengths. He didn't care who he was fighting.
Right.
I'm going to do what I do, and if you catch me, good luck. But I don't think you're going to be able to, and that's why he's undefeated. So I think when you start going into these fights, Mike, and you start thinking about changing how what's gotten you to this point,
right,
that's where you come into danger. We always talk about these trainers. What'd you do to you know, get ready for this fight? Over the years, Oscar De La Hoya. You've named these guys, and every time they change something, they lost. Every time they did something that went away from who they were,
right,
they ended up losing a fight. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I will say I do agree with you on that. I think if you box this guy, go box him.
Hey, unless it's just a gigantic con job. You know, like, remember, even Angelo Dundee had no idea that Ali was going to do rope-a-dope. You know, remember that? If you've read the book or you've seen the movie, they actually try to get, like, what are you doing? And even only Ali knew what the game plan was.
Which is brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
George Foreman, for the younger guys, I presume guys know, George Foreman punches himself out, and Ali's got to survive an unbelievable amount of body shots when he comes back to win, knock him out.
Yeah, because he wore him out. All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live in Las Vegas, getting you ready for the big fight, and we will hear more from both of these guys, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, undefeated heavyweights battling for the world title right here in Vegas. And again, you can get it on Fox Sports, the app, or at ESPN Plus, the app. So multiple ways to get this fight on Saturday night. All right, when we come back, there is something that has to give when you talk about negotiations of the NFL. Either the players are going to say yay or nay. And Mike has laid out the numbers while we were in the break about how little the take is when you break the amount down that the owners are saying they're going to give the players.
NFL coming out with, hey, man, $100 million right now if you take this deal, and it really doesn't amount to a hill of beans. We'll do the math. And I did it with a calculator, so you can trust me. It's not. I know I'm not good with math, Carlos, but it came out.
NFL Blitz is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.